You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Monday, first day of podcast this week, and I am excited because the Pelicans went 2-0 over the weekend with two pretty big victories, both in overtime, including an excellent second-half comeback in the game on Sunday. So today's edition of the podcast, we're going to recap the win over the Miami Heat. We're going to recap the comeback and victory in overtime as well over the Milwaukee Bucks. And then we're going to just jump right on into the preview for the Suns game tonight here in the Smoothie King Center. Some more basketball in the Crescent City as the Pelicans look to try and get a six-game winning streak going. Their longest in a really, really long time. And I will tell you guys when that last one was, what the situation was there, and kind of a weird stat with it, which is a little creepy and odd to me. It just makes me uncomfortable because I'm about to be 32, which makes me feel super duper duper old. So we got a lot to cover. We got some wins to talk about. This is all great here in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So as I talked about on Friday, that game against the Miami Heat should go for the Pelicans. The Heat are kind of made up of a number of six men who have energy off the bench, and there's some depth there, but they really only have one star player, in my opinion, in Goran Dragic, and maybe Hassan Whiteside, who I'm still not that high on overall, especially in relation to his contract. And you have to figure with the Pelicans starting Okafor at center to kind of draw that defensive assignment, this is a game for Anthony Davis to kind of take over and just do his thing, as he should have more energy as the game goes on and throughout the course of the matchup. And that happened, and we'll touch on that in AD's big night and all of that in just a moment. But then when you look at the box score and you see the Heat score 70 points in the paint, Pelicans have 15 turnovers, that leads to 17 turnover points. They shoot 8 of 31 from three-point range, 25.8% on the night. And the Miami Heat grabbed 13 offensive rebounds. You're going to think that this is just a blowout and the Pelicans didn't come with energy, didn't really care, didn't have any drive to kind of play this game and do what they want to do. And again, the box score says that, so you'd probably be right. But you'd be wrong in this specific case, as the Pelicans, despite all of that, really played very, very good basketball, and they were led by the team's star in Anthony Davis. And we talked about last week, you know, his comments about saying he needs to play like Russell Westbrook, and, you know, we kind of laughed at that concept because that's just not that killer instinct mentality he doesn't possess. That's not really who he is. He just kind of goes out and does his thing. And also, he's a big and doesn't have the ball in his hands to start every possession where he can't just go and drive and do that. So for him to come out and then put up the stat line he did and actually at times carry this team and will this team to victory, it felt like, was a huge, huge performance from him and exactly what you wanted to see out of him. We have concerns if he can lead this team at times single-handedly to the playoffs, and he started to put some of those concerns to rest on Friday night with a 45-point 17 rebound performance, 5 steals, 5 blocks as well, and only 2 turnovers. So that's a pretty damn good game from the Pelicans franchise player. Did everything you want. You know, he got to the rim. There were a lot of alley-oops and lobs. He, you know, scored in mid-range when the Heat were taking away the paint when it was out, when he was out there. Okafor wasn't there, and you have Hassan Whiteside patrolling the rim, taking that away from the team. That, you know, is when he fell and relied on his mid-range jumper, which we haven't seen as much this season, though we've seen it significantly more since DeMarcus Cousins went down. He relied on that and got points that way and just caused that defense of the Heat's to bend just a little bit, which opened things up. In particular for Jrue Holiday, 29 points for the Pelicans lead guard, 9 assists. Had some turnovers. He was having some trouble getting to the rim. You know, the space and things like that kind of went away. But this team was led by these two players, and they set the tone early as well. The Heat play with one of the slower paces in the league. The Pelicans play with one of the fastest. They want to get out and run, and in particular, you want to get out and run so that you don't have Whiteside back there set and defending the paint and making your life miserable. Points in transition, fast break points, all of that's going to make the Pelicans' lives easier to score, and they did that. 37 fast break points on the night for the Pels. They grabbed a rebound and they hit it. Also, after blocks, they were out there running, and Emeka Okafor, in his starting role, played about 18 minutes, didn't do much scoring-wise, just 2 points, but he did an excellent job defending the rim. 5 blocks for the big man, 7 boards, including 2 offensive rebounds, which were key at times, just ending possessions of the Miami Heat. That's exactly his role, what you want him to do. He did an excellent job of that, including some key plays down the stretch at times when he was out there. So again, he's doing his job, exactly what you want to see, and it let the Pelicans get out and run. After all of those blocks, they were out there screaming down the court to try and get some easy points. And as we talked about Davis and Holiday, and we don't really need to talk about anyone else, really. No one else stood out. Other than Ian Clark, who apparently loves playing against the Miami Heat. He had a big game earlier in the year in Orlando for the Pels, finished with 21 on the night. Everyone else was rather quiet for the most part, and there's good reason why. If you watch the end of the fourth quarter and most of overtime, Pelicans ran basically the same situation, setup, play, set, whatever the hell you want to call it, every single time. Left side pick and roll, two-man game type of thing between Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis. And I'm going to try and write about it later this week when I find some time. They ran this at least 5 straight possessions between the fourth quarter and overtime, including the possessions that basically tied the game and the game winner. And they just ran different variations of it. And that's how dominant this team was that night in terms of getting the Heat on their back heels. Eric Spoelstra, who's a good coach, had no counter to this, and there was really nothing the Heat could have done. So you have Anthony Davis kind of standing around the 18-foot or so mark on that left side of the court. Drew Holiday at the three-point line. Davis doesn't even really set a pick or anything like that. He just kind of stands there. And then Holiday starts his drive going kind of down the paint, and you force the Heat to kind of defend this 2-on-2 because there are good shooters on the court. Mirotić, Miller, and more, depending on who was out there at the time, all on the right side of the court to try and space that out. If you try and double and take away that lane from Holiday, and Davis is covered too, he's going to kick it to one of those outside shooters, and the Heat were very, very worried about that, despite the Pelicans, like I said, only shooting 8 of 31 on the night. So you had that there. And maybe that's probably the better option to let them do it. And so he goes and drives, and if that's not there, Anthony Davis has the option, of course it's a pick and roll, of rolling to the rim and getting the basket on a bounce pass from Holiday, which he did, and try and score that way, or just to kind of hang out there if they sag off to try and take away the paint and the roll from Davis and just hit that mid-range jump shot, which he did. And we saw endless variations of this, and we saw all the different outcomes that it could be. We saw Holiday drive and score. We saw Davis get the ball and hit the rim and attack. He actually got stopped on a game winner, which is when it was headed to overtime at that point. So they did do it well there. We saw him hit that mid-range jumper to tie the game that really sent it to overtime. And then in overtime, as they ran this continuously, Holiday decided to keep the ball himself. They took away the inside. He had that mid-range jumper. He had room to get it off. He did. He fired, and the Pelicans won. And I said mid-range in this game was going to be big, because when Whiteside is out there, you can't really get into the paint and score in the half court that way. You're going to need to at least make him step out of the paint. And that's really what kind of caused this ultimately to win the game for the Pels, I think. Look, you have Holiday drive, he hits the paint, he gets blocked by Whiteside, let's say. It's a hypothetical situation. He pulls up and hits that mid-range jumper. Whiteside's got to step out a little bit more to at least try and contest it if they switch. And by doing that, it then allows Davis room to get that bounce pass on the roll or the pass on the roll and then score and get behind Whiteside because he's now stepped out of position. That's why the Pelicans ran this variation so many times. And you forced Whiteside to choose. You had Bam Adebayo in there on the final possession too, because Whiteside had fouled out at that point. And Adebayo has a choice. Do you step out and contest Drew Holiday on the mid-range jumper, or do you take away Anthony Davis rolling to the rim? And the rookie, faced with almost an impossible choice, chose to take away Anthony Davis rolling to the rim. And it let Drew Holiday have all the space he needed for that mid-range jumper, which he hit. And the Pelicans got a tough-fought one-point victory in overtime. But you got to get those games. And frankly, I don't really have complaints here. Heat, again, top to bottom, have a lot of talent there. They have guys who can go out there and score. They had six guys in double figures, all kind of contributing. And that's with an off-shooting night from them as well. They weren't hitting from deep, 6 of 18 on the night, so worse, or a little bit better than the Pelicans were in terms of percentage and everything. So you force them to choose, you make them do their thing, and you kind of neutralize this top-to-bottom thing with your great play from your two best players. That's exactly what the Pelicans need to be doing going forward. Don't forget, like, subscribe, rate, all of that stuff here with Locked On Pelicans. Follow it on Twitter, it's at Locked On Pels. Like it on Facebook and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from and leave it a 5-star rating. All of that's important and it does keep the podcast free in 5 days a week for you. No paid content, no paywalls, anything like that. Free 5 days a week covering the team that you love. No one else is doing this. So make sure you please like, subscribe, rate, and all of that with Locked On Pelicans. The Pelicans game Sunday against the Milwaukee Bucks was definitely a tale of two halves, and the disparity in this was huge. The Pelicans were down 17 at halftime, basically looking like they didn't care, they didn't want to be here, and realizing that this matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks is fairly just bad for them. A lot of length tends to bother the Pelicans, a team who wants to pass the ball around a lot. When you've got extra long arms kind of getting in the passing lane, screwing things up, it can make life difficult, particularly when you start to turn the ball over at the rate the Pelicans did. And they did it to the tune of 11 in the first half, with four of those coming from Rajon Rondo and him trying to zip passes around. Rondo had a pretty bad first half, 4 points, four turnovers, four assists, so he's on pace for a weird 5-by-5 game, especially when you count the five turnovers there, or five rebounds there. And no one really had anything very much going. Anthony Davis scored 19 in the first half, relying basically solely on the mid-range jumper because he wasn't able to get to the rim. Again, arms, there's people in the way, there's a lot of athleticism with this Bucks team. It's kind of weird, and it's a shame they got off to a slow start because this team, or a slow start to the year, because this is a team that could be very, very good with the right coach, of course, hence the firing there of Jason Kidd and everything that went wrong in Giannis. Drew Holiday was quiet in the first half as well, 4 of 11, 36.4% for just 8 points. Basically, nothing was going the Pelicans' way. They couldn't get any offense. And when you turn the ball over like that, you're going to allow the team to score against you. Milwaukee put up 66 in the first two periods. But then the Pelicans turned it around entirely in the second half. And they immediately came out of the gate, not turning the ball over, which is definitely a good thing, and went on a 13-3 run. They pounded the rock inside, didn't care, and were just determined to get out there and score. And when everything kind of settled down, they were ahead going into the fourth quarter. New Orleans outscored Milwaukee. It was 19 points coming back from that 17-point deficit. So all of a sudden, they've got a lead because they battled. And this isn't what we've seen from this team so far this year. We've seen how bad third quarters can be, where the opposing coach makes better adjustments than the Pelicans do, or where the Pelicans get complacent and what have you. And I've said, this team tends to do better when they face some adversity, when they're not expected to go into a road game and win, and they come out and want to prove something. And then they tend to get complacent when they're up at home against a bad team, and you see these kind of third quarters happen. And there may be something to it, maybe not. That's just what I see from all of this. But again, you go in down 17, and you come out firing like that. Something changed. You get smart with the basketball. You decide you want to protect it a little bit more. You value it, what have you. It makes a huge difference. The second half, though, definitely sparked by Drew Holiday, who did work during that period. One, playing very good defense and trying to slow Giannis down. Giannis finished with 9 points in the second half. That's it. That's tremendous. A lot of switches from the Pelicans. We're going to talk about defense probably tomorrow. They're getting back to that more aggressive switching scheme. And Holiday, when he was switched on to Giannis, can handle that bigger player like that. We've seen that time and time again. He then got it going on the offensive side. He decided to attack. He took 17 shots in the second half compared to just 10 for Davis, and he put up 26 points in the final two frames of the game there. Again, exactly what you want to see from him. This team does well when they're aggressive and they're moving and forcing the defenses to react and to adjust to them. So Jrue Holiday really, really stepped it up. Rondo did too. We've given him a lot of flack this year, and we know he's not necessarily always the Rondo of old, but he does have good games. In the second half against the Milwaukee Bucks, I just lost it here, he had 7 points, 7 assists, compared to just 1 turnover. The Pelicans send it to overtime, and the rest is kind of history. Came back, fighting in the second half, exactly what you wanted to see from this team after a listless effort in the first two quarters. Mirotić scored 14 points in this game, 1 of 8 from three. He's not shooting particularly well right now, but he did manage to get to the line 3 times to try and score as much as possible as he could. That's a good thing that he can get 14 points on the stat sheet, even when he's not shooting well from deep. He's playing higher minutes, really, than he's ever played so far in his career, and I wonder if that has something to do with it, just kind of having an off period of time because of the minutes. Darius Miller, Etuan Moore, their shots haven't been falling nearly as well recently as it has been in the past. Hopefully they'll be bouncing back soon. We might dive in on those guys in tomorrow's podcast as well. Okafor got the start again, just provided kind of what he needed to do, grab some boards, make life a little bit easier early on for Anthony Davis and give him a little bit more energy to kind of finish out games. And you're seeing that working, so expect him to keep starting. I think you're going to see him sign to a season-long contract very soon, as I believe now maybe his second 10-day is going to be up. I think they're going to sign him for at least the year, if not maybe an unguaranteed deal for next year as well. Of course, we'll break that down should that contract come and get announced at some point this week. So before talking about the Suns and taking a quick look at the Western Conference playoff standings, don't forget, like, subscribe, rate, all of that stuff for the Locked On NBA podcast this time. You guys now know I'm there on Wednesdays co-hosting with John Corrales of Locked On Celtics. Had a lot of fun last week looking at the Western Conference playoff picture. We'll be breaking down Tuesday night's games, previewing Wednesday's games, and then talking about the biggest stories in the NBA this upcoming Wednesday. So make sure you tune in weekly to the Locked On NBA podcast, at least on Wednesday, if not 5 days a week. So tonight in the Smoothie King Center, and we're going to do this one rather quickly here as I've gone a little longer than I want on the podcast today. The Pelicans take on the Suns as they go for their 6th straight victory. The first time they're going to be gunning for 6 straight wins since the 2011 playoff year, Monty Williams' first season here, when Anthony Davis is, according to Rod Walker of The Advocate, I guess not really according to him, this is just, you know, math and figuring out years. Anthony Davis was still in high school the last time the Pelicans had a 6-game winning streak. That is just weird to me a little bit for some reason, and maybe that's because I'm going to be 32 in less than a month and I feel old as hell right now with, I think, my body entirely falling apart. Is it possibly limping on both sides of your body because of separate leg injuries? Because that's what I'm doing right now. So the Suns come to town. They're on a 9-game losing streak here, and not looking like a very good team. This is one that the Pelicans should easily win. However, the Suns get out and run and can score in transition. And if Devin Booker gets hot, who really knows what's going to happen from this team? And maybe they just kind of catch the Pelicans on a bit of a trap game. But Booker's averaging almost 25 points a game, 24.4. That's a little bit scary. They recently traded for Elfrid Payton, so they've got a bit of a new look backcourt, who's going to probably get a good contingent of people out there in the Smoothie King Center tonight, being a local. In the 5 games there, he's averaging basically 17 points per game. Throw in TJ Warren, who's there as well, and this team can actually go out there and score. They don't play any sort of defense, so that's a good thing, and they want to run, which again plays into the Pelicans' hands because they want to run too. So let's just have points for everyone. And this one really is just going to come down to, can you slow down Devin Booker a little bit? With the way Jrue Holiday slowed down the Bucks and Giannis, you have to think he's going to be able to do that. Let Elfrid Payton shoot. He's not exactly lighting it up from the field in his career, though he's been shooting better and playing a bit more efficiently since he's gone to Phoenix. But overall, you're really not that worried about this team. Now, again, You never know what's going to happen. Hopefully, it's not going to be a big deal. Pelicans should get a win. I think, you know, this is maybe one where it's a trap game. This team's going to be tired, and they have a big stretch coming up. So you could potentially see them looking ahead to, you know, their upcoming opponents. But a team on a 9-game losing streak, you definitely better beat. So hopefully the Pelicans can get this victory there. You'll probably start Emeka Okafor, though this is maybe a game where you see him coming off the bench, just getting some reserve minutes, because he's not exactly going to thrive in this fast pace in transition defense that the Suns are going to be trying to force the Pelicans into. That could definitely be an issue. But we'll see what happens. This is a game, like I said, that the Pelicans, simply put, should win. So after the win last night against the Milwaukee Bucks, the Pelicans are up to sixth in the Western Conference. They're 3 games behind the Spurs, basically, 3.5 maybe, something like that, for the third spot. And they're now ahead of the Clippers by 2 games, for 2.5, I think, for the 9th spot. So you've got a little bit of breathing room. And should the Pelicans win tonight, they're going to tie Portland for the 5th spot. So slowly climbing their way up the rankings. Minnesota's going to be without Jimmy Butler for at least probably the remainder of the regular season with a torn meniscus is what it appears to be, which really sucks for them, and I don't like rooting for injuries. The Pelicans have a chance to maybe get that 3rd or 4th seed. They've got the Spurs upcoming too. That'll kind of give us an idea of where they stand. Standings are close, but this winning streak for the Pelicans has given them a little bit of breathing room that we needed to see from them. Things are going to be tight at the bottom of the Western Conference. The Western Conference playoff race, and you've got to just get wins when you can, because when you play 5 games in 6 nights, 17 in like 26 or something like that overall, or 25 and 47 if you want to look to the just second part of the schedule after the All-Star break overall, that's a rough period of time. You're going to have an off night or two here and there because of the rest factor, despite the age of these guys. So got to get these wins when you can. Got to get this one tonight. Get into that 5th seed. Give yourself a little bit of a buffer. We don't care as much between 3 and 8 where this team's going to fall. Obviously, higher the better. Just get into the playoffs, or at least lock down that spot. Once you lock it down, then try, and if there's any games left, go for seeding. But just get into the playoffs is going to be the biggest thing for this team going forward. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. I will be there. This is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a 6-game winning streak going, get into the 5th spot in the Western Conference, tied with Portland, who I think they can definitely overtake as the season goes on. Seeing some very good basketball. Credit where credit is due. Alvin Gentry making adjustments, getting this team playing well, and they are playing well right now. We've given him a lot of flack this year, but he definitely deserves some credit right now. So enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully we'll see a victory. If not, or if there is a win, no matter what, I'll be with you all tomorrow recapping the game, talking about the defense and all the other topics you want to hear this week here on Locked On Pelicans. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.